The Gospel of John is, to me, one of the most beautiful Gospels, not taking away from any other Gospel. But he does a very good job at really showing who Christ is. I mean, we get it from the very first chapter, John 1, verses 1 and 2. But here, what we have on down in John chapter 1, we see there is John the Baptist, and he stands with two of his disciples along the Jordan, and seeing Jesus walk by, he declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then the two disciples do not simply nod in agreement. They leave John. They follow Jesus themselves. When Jesus asks, "What are they seeking?" we see they ask, "Where are you staying?" And we see his answer is not a sermon, a creed, a formula. It's an invitation. He simply says in three words, "Come and see." And we see the short phrase. This short phrase is a pattern of how every soul comes to Christ. It's also a pattern for the plea of New Testament Christianity. Not believe what I tell you, but come and see for yourself what God's Word says. And so, the first thing that we need to fully understand and what we need to do is investigate. You know, I don't know how many of you watch detective movies or documentaries where detectives are figuring out a murder, but they have to investigate. They have to find clues. They have to put the clues together to find out who the killer is. And that's how we need to be with Scripture. We need to investigate. We need to give time to it and learn and see. Come and see who Christ is. And so come and see calls for personal investigation. And so we see in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 37, John the Baptist pointed to Christ. On the next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak and followed Jesus. He didn't demand here a blind allegiance to himself. What we see with John the Baptist here is humility, the prime definition of humility. Because we know on down the road, he says, "I must decrease and he must increase." John the Baptist understood what his mission was, why he was sent. He was sent to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. That's all he was here to do. And so we see, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And so this turns attention away from the preacher toward the Savior. And so we see the two disciples had to leave what was familiar. Once again, we got to think, these disciples would have been with John the Baptist for at least a couple of years, maybe more. They would have become close, really close. They would have been like family, following him in the wilderness. And so here they had to leave John's company to go and follow Jesus. And so we see faith that is merely inherited or borrowed from someone else is not yet faith at all. There are so many people in our world today who will say, "I belong to a denomination because my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have been going here for years." And even when you show them that truth, the truth, of course, this is more important. That's a faith that's been borrowed. That's a faith that has been inherited. Look at the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." The Bereans here investigated. The Bereans looked into the scripture to see the things that were being taught. And so when we look, and it's not just people in denominations, people in the church live off borrowed faith, inherited faith. That's not true biblical faith. That's just buying you some time, and really not no time at all. You're losing time to truly respond. But when we look at the Berens, every hearer is responsible to test all preaching, all tradition, and all human creeds against the Bible itself. Once again, this book right here is the very word of God. This should be the authority in our life. No preacher, denomination, congregation can do that searching for another person. No one. Only you can. And so, something that we need to learn tonight is don't take the sermon I'm preaching before you or any sermon on faith. Read John 1 for yourself. I encourage you to read all of the Gospel of John, all the Gospels. Give time to them. Look into them. He invites investigation, not assumption. That's what we notice with the disciples who left John and followed Jesus. They were investigating. They wanted to know more. They wanted to learn more. And we see what that turned out down the road. But with investigation, it will lead to an encounter. It will lead to an encounter. John chapter 1, verses 38 through 39. And when Jesus turned and noticed them following, he said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Notice Christ turns and engages directly with them. What do you seek? And guess what? Even today, Christ still meets those who are honestly searching for him. It still happens today. I'm not saying Jesus will come to you personally. You won't see him in person. But he will meet you if you are truly seeking him. And how do we seek him today? We seek him through his word. We learn about him. We get to know who he is, that he is Lord, our Lord and Savior, that he is the Messiah, the Messiah that was promised throughout the Old Testament. But notice their question, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" This reveals they wanted more than information. They wanted time with him. Once again, with investigation, it led to an encounter. They wanted to get to know him. I mean, once again, you have John, who they've been following. Behold, the Lamb of God. They were searching. They were waiting for the promised Messiah. But Jesus' answer, "Come and see." And so this results in an evening together. So the Greek word for remained, emenon, is the same family of words used later in John. John 15, verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit from itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." That word, abide. Once again, remained is in the same family of words with abide. And so, Bible knowledge that never leads to abiding fellowship with Christ stops short of the goal. You can have all the Bible knowledge you want. You can know all the trivia questions. It doesn't mean a thing if you're not doing and living. Really, those two are the same. If you're not living it. And that's the biggest problem. When we see people encounter Christ, it changes them. It changes them completely. You think about the encounters you read of during his ministry. People didn't come back the same. Have you investigated? Have you encountered? There should be proof. There should be proof of that change. But sadly, many don't, because they want him as Savior, not as Master, not as Lord. And that's a big problem in our world today, but not just in the world, in the church. And so coming and seeing must lead to coming to him in obedience. Once again, the plan of salvation hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and remain faithful. True faith leads one to completely obey and living for him daily until they take their last breath. And so once again, investigation leads to an encounter, and then with that encounter comes about testimony. Come and see compels testimony. Look at Andrew's very next act in Acts chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. One of the two who heard John speak followed him. Who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. What did Andrew do? Did he just sit there and keep it to himself? He went and ran to his brother and told him, "We found the Messiah. We found him at last." And not only did he go to him, he brought his brother to meet Jesus. The question remains, are we excited like Andrew was here? Are we excited about what has happened in our lives? Or have we become stale? Have we become complacent? Have we become stagnant? And how we are going to go about this? He brought his brother to Jesus. He didn't just simply just tell him and then leave. He brought his brother to him. But notice, testimony was not complete until it produced action and introduction. Once again, action is important. It's so easy to say you have faith. Prove it. That's what Christ asks of us. That's what God, he wants us to prove our faith. Not just sit and become stagnant, complacent with our faith. And this is really when you look at the whole chapter. This is the whole pattern of the whole chapter. Notice, John points disciples to Jesus. Jesus' disciples point others to Jesus. This is the whole pattern when you look overall. This is it, because we go to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Every true encounter with Christ overflows into evangelism. You know, that's something that I've witnessed preaching school, and most of the guys who were part of my class were converted by their wives, which is a beautiful thing, awesome thing. And I'll tell you, the people who've been converted to the truth, sadly, have more zeal than the ones who have already been in the truth for years. Look at the Samaritan woman. She encounters Christ. She investigates. They talk. And when she found out, when she saw who he was, she simply didn't pick up her stuff and say, "Okay, that's great. I'm going to go now and go back home." She runs back into town and brings the whole town out. And the result of that, that whole town believed. We all have a Simon. We all have an Andrew in our life that brought us to Christ. Who is it? You don't have to answer that out loud, but answer to yourself. Who is that? And if it wasn't because, if it wasn't for them, would you be here? Probably not. There are souls looking for their Simon, looking for their Andrew right now. Are you going to be it? Are you going to be like Simon, Andrew? Are you going to be like all the disciples and go and tell people? Andrew did not wait until he was a finished theologian. If we really wanted to measure where they were at on the scale, fishermen. Here's the theologian, here's the fisherman. Even the Pharisees, when they had Peter and others before them, they realized who they were. You know, they were amazed by the knowledge they had, by what they were teaching, how they were speaking. Well, these are followers of Jesus. Andrew went the same day he met Jesus to his brother and brought his brother to Christ. Every Christian is a link in the same chain that began with come and see. Three simple words, come and see. And so putting this all together, we must investigate. And then along with that investigation, it will lead us to an encounter. And then with that encounter, well, most importantly, encounter and abide with Christ and testify, bringing others to Christ. We start off by investigating. And then we have an encounter and abide with Christ and then testify, bringing others to him. That's what a Christian is called to do. Not sit, not become stagnant, not become complacent, but to go forth and bring people to Christ. And that's what we have here with this whole chapter one. This is what it's all about. And from here, we see that Christ would go on and his followers would multiply. He would heal. He would do miracles, signs, and wonders. Many believing in him. But it didn't just stop after his death. He rose again and he ascended back into heaven. They continued. What he gave them, they went forth and proclaimed it. And brought, who knows the number? It starts with you. So this evening, I'll say if you have become stagnant, complacent in your faith, you need to fix it tonight. Because there is a danger lurking if we have become stagnant, complacent. And that danger involves losing everything. Or if you're not a Christian, understand, you need to come and you need to see. You need to come and give your life to Christ. And from there, you will see what he has to offer, which is far better than anything this world can offer you. And this is how you become a Christian. You must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, you must believe it, Mark 16:16. Then you must repent, which means change. Change is important. If there's no change, the rest won't matter. And then you must confess your faith in Christ, not being ashamed of him, confessing him before others that he is your Lord and Savior, that he is the Messiah. And then you must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. But it doesn't stop there. Then the hard part, you must remain faithful. That means keeping that fire lit and keep moving forward. Revelation 2:10, those who remain faithful until death will receive the crown of life. And so this evening, if you need any assistance, I pray and hope that tonight you decide to make things right, to be restored, or become a child of God. And so if you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.